Hey everyone, let me ask you this and be honest with yourself. Were you ready to vote when you turned 18? And if not, do you think it's a better option to vote irresponsibly or to not vote at all? Well, these are some nasty questions and moral dilemmas that our podcast called Underground Frequencies will discuss in its first episode on civic education and civic engagement. So do stick around here on EPE Radio 97 FM. Hello everyone and welcome. I am so delighted to be here and have the possibility still to keep debating and connecting during these crazy times of COVID-19. This is EPE Radio 97 FM in Budapest City. Do check out our podcast series Underground Frequencies at epe.lt.hu. My name is Monica Silva and I'm your host for today. We do have an exciting episode focused on civic education and civic engagement. I could not demand for better company. The future specialists of international relations from ELTE are in the house. Nini from Georgia, Anna from Ukraine, Frugina from Hungary and Tekla from Georgia. Welcome everyone. Straight ahead, let me start with this. Did you feel that your high school gave you the basis to participate actively in the path of your country? I mean, by the end of high school, did you know how politics work? The meaning of left and right in your country, who are the main parties, what they stand for, and so on. So did you feel you could create an informed opinion and make conscious vote from the first day you were able to vote in your country?
I would like to start. I'm Nini from Georgia, as Monica already said. So I would say the system of education in Georgia has failed a lot of times because I think it hasn't changed since the Soviet Union stopped to exist. So it has been mirroring the same system, and I think in the 21st century it doesn't work, actually. Because I think, as well as in the whole world, we are studying normal subjects such as history, literature, art, music, and etc. But no one ever mentions how important it is to be aware of our rights, of the civic education, how should we vote after we turn 18. Because we finish the school once we turn 18. It's the time when we have the right to vote, when we have the right to choose the future for our country. But we end up knowing nothing, basically, rather than the history of 15th century and knowing the poems. So no one has ever provided us with the rights, which leaves us with absolutely no idea what to do once we finish the school.
Wow, that's very honest and direct, and I definitely relate to that. But I would also like, just out of curiosity, Tekla, you are from the same country that Nini. Do you share the same opinion?
Yeah, I totally agree with Nini, but I also would like to add that there is different situation in public and private schools. And from my personal experience, I spent first 8 grades in private school and then high school in the public school. And there is a big difference, even though the private schools also have that problem. But I think that the problem is huge and even bigger in the public schools. And as I remember, there was an attempt to provide this kind of civic education. But there was a subject, but I think that even the attitude of the teachers, we are not that serious, so it failed. And also, yeah, so I totally agree with Nini. People just don't look at it seriously, and the teachers also stick to their curriculums, and they don't give as much attention and importance to that topic. So I totally agree with Nini, unfortunately.
I would also add that it's a very sensitive topic regarding voting and knowing the parties, knowing what right means, knowing what left means. So it's really hard to choose teachers who are absolutely objective and they can teach it without being biased. So I would say that's another problem as well.
So lack of objectivity. So you think sometimes teachers ended up being biased and follow their own agenda?
Yes, and it's really important to be absolutely objective when you're teaching teenagers at the age of 16 or 18.
I see. And Frugi, we know that Hungarian education is somehow also focused. It's important that Hungarian students get the feeling of their country, their importance, their history.
Do you also think there's a mixture between what is history and what is politics? Do you also feel that somehow they try to take students to see the country in a certain way, or you think there's a more independent reflection on citizenship that is provided by high schools?
Yeah, I can bring many similarities to the girls before me. But so regarding my school experience, I felt that in the primary school, the teachers tried to teach us the rights in an unquestionable way, the rights and the values in a really unquestionable way. But later in the middle school, we learned that the basic civil rights, what we have in a democracy. But I think the biggest problem with this, that it happened very late. And we focused mostly on the Hungarian civic rights structure through only the Hungarian history. And also we didn't take in consideration so much the world history and other rights in international law or only just the international organizations. And I had the really deep feeling that we got the impression all the time about the Hungarian, only the Hungarian greatness in our history classes, and we didn't approach it critically.
So I guess, again, you somehow have the same feeling that Nini and Tekla from Georgia have, that if there's something going on, it's usually biased towards one side. But you did say something that I thought was very interesting, that you felt it happened very late. And with that, I would like to turn to Anna from Ukraine. Since Halso has a former Soviet Union country, I would imagine that this kind of awareness of being actively engaged in the future of your country would rather happen at the early stage. Is that the case at all? Can you tell us a little bit, how was it while you were growing up in high school in Ukraine?
Well, your guess is right. I would say there is definitely a lot of pressure in learning the poems, on forming the Ukrainian greatness and stuff. But I can admit that even in middle school and in high school, we had this introduction to legislation classes where we would learn about our rights and our obligations, stuff like when we are, like how old we are, when can we start working, what kind of responsibilities we can have from a certain age. But I also had a high school experience in the United States, and the approach to civic education there was kind of different. So we were not quite as focused on learning you like the clauses from the constitution of your country. I mean, there were of course like those first, second amendments, a bunch of amendments they have, they values that they have in the country, but it was kind of easier to understand, easier to grasp, and it was explained in a much simpler language, I would say. And there was also a lot of other courses in the curriculum that would help you improve your civic engagement, the civic knowledge. They had this class for seniors, which is 12th grade students, where they could have their senior project that is community service or something. They would do something in community and write 3,500 words about that. So my subjective opinion, maybe this approach to civic education is much better in working for people in their teenage years than the one that we have in Ukraine. Wouldn't they, it doesn't exist in Ukraine. It does. It's more about learning the rights clause by clause from the constitution, other than this hands-on approach.
So Anna, Tekla said previously, talked about the attitude of the teachers. You just also told me how you feel that Ukraine has a more technical approach and not a so much hands-on approach. So where does responsibility lie? I mean, I started this debate assuming this is a school responsibility, but should this also be a family duty? Or should you by yourself? Should you be taking care of your own civic education?
Well, for me personally, I think that a lot of responsibility and a lot of perception comes from the family of the individual. Even though you are responsible, somebody has to teach you how to use those sources, how to find them. And a lot of this practical knowledge comes from the school, but also if you're coming from the family when nobody is interested in voting or in civic engagement or is actually biased towards the subject, you're less likely to take an advantage of these opportunities. Sometimes it might be due to the family environment that you're missing out on those opportunities. That's my take on it.
Mm-hmm. And Nini and Tekla, did you feel any kind of familiar support, family engagement, or motivation to actually become a more proactive citizen, since you ladies told me that the school clearly failed at that?
Yeah, I can say that I got the motivation and also the information from my family to be more engaged in civil activities and civic education. But I think that we shouldn't only blame school, that school is failing, but it's also the responsibility of ourselves, the individuals, the school and the family. So it's not that we should put all the responsibility on school, on schools, but rather to share the responsibility within each other. So I think it's all together. It will be more effective if we work together. We individuals ourselves, our families, and school. School can give very important. School should give you the information and motivation to go further it. And then I think family, where you come from, and your individual interests also matter.
I totally agree with Tekla that it shouldn't be only school's responsibility to teach us about voting, but I would say the only responsibility that should be fallen on the school is about the technical matters. For example, how you can vote and etc. about some parts of law and legislation, so we have an idea how it works. But otherwise, the ideology and us as the future citizens, we are shaped by the family, we are shaped by the circle of our friends. It depends who we are friends with, it depends our neighbors, relatives, and etc. And that's how we are shaped as citizens. But regarding knowing the technical part of the whole process, it's the school's responsibility.
Yeah, Nini, that's very interesting what you said, and perfect for my next question. Because you said that not everything is learned, but a lot of our civic visions and attitudes are shaped, as you said, by family and our entourage. Having that in mind, let me turn to Frugina. Frugi, you know that despite the requests for prevention and prudence from national governments, from health directorates with special and knowledgeable staff, especially after the schools were closed, we could see throughout the news that youngsters were still gathering, still hanging out, filling the pubs, going to the beach. So I was thinking, the government closes the school to avoid mass gatherings. And how will youngsters decide to get together somewhere else? I mean, information was available, so they knew and still acted this way. Do you think that this proves that civic education is already failing?
Actually, I don't think that this is the proof of that the civic education is failing because I think if someone want to read and reach these values and sites and this news of this world, what is happening also at this time, everyone can reach these informations. But so I think it's not the proof of this what you mentioned, but I think so for the youngsters it is more difficult to stay home, because the youngsters are that persons who are the mostly engaged with the socializing and and with the similar community creative stuffs. So this could be the
yes, it is indeed a valid it is indeed a valid point that it is almost like naturally harder for our youngsters to suddenly, let's put it this way, it might be a more abrupt change for them or to lead with it that some maybe adult or older generations. Anna, I would like to have also your opinion on this. Do you think it's more like Fruji said, it's a matter almost of generation, it's understandable that it's harder for them, or do you think they should just be more aware and complied due to the information they received?
I think that's more of a personality issue. It might be the kind of influence that parents have over you. For example, my mother would be very, very strict about it. She call me 5 or 10 times a day just to make sure that I'm not wandering around somewhere. Well, I feel like I'm a bit more of an obedient citizen, but it's mostly because I was raised like this. There's quite a few people of our generation that are kind of ignorant about the virus, they do not take it seriously. But that's the matter of another generation also, that might be somebody in the mid-30s or in mid-40s, mid-50s, 60s. My grandfather in his mid-80s is just very ignorant about that. And it takes a lot of time and persuasion to just try to keep him in the house, in his house. So I would say it's more of a personality trait. You can be very active and have a hard time staying at home even in your 80s. That's just my take on it.
All right. So I will drop this question because I see I'm alone. I have a different opinion. I'm completely alone on it. But you guys convinced me with good arguments. So,
no, Monica, you're not alone because I agree with you.
Yeah, I also agree with you.
I would say that the ignorance of students means that they do not realize how important their action is. So they do not realize their what should they do as the citizens, that you should comply with the government when it's the emergency situation. So I would say you are right. They do not realize how important their behavior is.
But that takes me also to another question. Of course, I mean, I did my high school more than 10 years ago, and my brother just finished, and I made him the same question. Are you ready to vote? Are you consciously ready to vote? Do you know what's going on? And he told me no, which means there was no modification, no development at all regarding civic education in Portugal in the last 10 years. I know you're all younger than me, but you already did it for 2 or 3 years, at least your high school. Do you have younger friends, brothers, sisters? And if yes, do you see that they are already profiting from some change, benefiting from some change, or actually things you feel that is, you know, the same?
According to my opinion, after the value shaping of the school and your parents in your childhood, so after this time, it's everything up to you. So after the middle school, the biggest responsibility is on you. Have to deepen your values and have to read a wide range of political sites and opinions. So I think after all is, so the biggest responsibility is on you. How your values are shaping.
That's interesting. And I see you also, we also have here, we ended up going again to whose responsibility. And I see we also kind of divide. I have the feeling maybe, Frugina, you would say the biggest responsibility would be on the individual. I think, please do correct me. Tecla said also we should be the responsibility on the individual. Right, Tecla?
Yes, that's right.
And you, Nini?
Yes, completely. I agree.
Anna?
Yes, I agree.
All right. I'm alone on this one. I'm alone on this one because I thought someone would say at least the school should have the main role. And that's very, very, very interesting because it does leads me to actually one last question. outside of the, you know, the most typical actors that we usually engage in citizenship. Usually this comes from ourselves, from family, or from school. I know some of you engage in some civic citizenship through other actors, organizations, nonprofit organizations. Do you guys, anyone has an experience that has, that would like to share, that it was not through you, not your parents, not your family, but because you got in contact with something non-state related that made you actually engage in civic education?
Yes, actually I do. I work for the youth organization, and the way I am involved in that organization was totally accidental. It was not my motivation to work in the NGO. It was not through my family or school or the state, but it was just accidental. So, of course, you are right in that case.
And but do you feel that you got part of your education the way you are aware of your country, how politics work, through that organization, Tekla?
I think that, of course, I gained some knowledge, but not as much as I gained through myself, the researches I do, the articles I read, the information I read in the internet, and I watch the TV, and also through the university. Of course, that work didn't give me as much information and knowledge, but I think it was also useful. So it was kind of a pop-up, you know, to the main knowledge and information, but it broadened my view and vision.
All right. So according to you all, a big part of civic education should come from our own individual efforts. Having that in mind, in regard to voting, what do you think is a more responsible attitude when you are not aware of what's going on in your country? Is it better to make an informed vote? I mean, to vote just for the sake of voting? Or do you think it's more responsible in that case to not vote at all? Ruji?
According to my opinion, it is more a responsible behavior to vote informed, because if you vote after only one party's appearance or advertisement, it doesn't represent your own opinion, and it affects also the wrong legislation in the parliament, because it doesn't include your representation. But I also think that not every citizen is able to get the most useful information because of the growing number of fake news websites.
Yes, we did not touch on that point regarding being informed with fake news. That is very interesting, but maybe that's definitely a future topic. What about you, Nini?
I think it's a very legit question, and you've got the point there, because voting unconsciously doesn't make situation any better. But if you think about it, and if very few people will vote in the end, it's going to be the fact that the minority opinion will prevail, so it undermines democracy. But it's really hard to answer a question, honestly. I can say yes or no. There should be a big discussion about that.
What about you, Tekla?
I partly agree with Nini. I think that if a lot of people decide not to vote because they are not sure about their decision, and then we have the minority decision, but at the same time, if people vote and then they have the decision that they unconsciously didn't want or didn't want to lead in that way, then maybe that's the case of Brexit. I don't know. So this is like a dilemma. And personally, I prefer not to vote if I'm not sure in my decision, and if I see that I don't have that much information on the topic, and and in that case, I personally prefer not to vote. Yes.
And you, Anna?
I personally had such a dilemma when I went to parliamentary elections in Ukraine. Not parliamentary, but presidential elections in Ukraine, especially the second part of it. I didn't feel like I had enough information on the programs of the two remaining candidates, and I just decided not to vote. there was a huge pressure to vote, and I think there were a lot of people who are voting consciously. But I felt that if I'm in this situation when I'm voting unconsciously, I'd rather not. And there is a strong support to, like, my opinion. So in my opinion, if you have things like Brexit, when people are voting unconsciously and relying on fake news sometimes, maybe it's better not to vote at all.
Ladies, thank you so much for sharing your insight. I think we can say that this was a very good and much needed departure point to create future debates regarding this theme. But for now, we have to wrap it off. To our dear audience, thank you so much for sticking with us. Next week, we'll be around, so do not forget to tune in. This is EPE Radio 97 FM, all the way from Budapest, Hungary. My name is Monica, and this was another episode of Underground Frequencies. Have a good day, y'all, and be safe.